You're listening to Radio Caravan with host Scott Hayes, healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey, and sound engineer April Johnson.
Come on.
You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. And by the way, our new opening music is by Sean Jones. What's the name of that song again, April?
Life is for the Living.
Life is for the Living. If you don't know Sean Jones, you got to go visit this guy. He's an incredible local musician. He's an incredible songwriter, singer, all that great stuff. We got the thumbs up for everybody? Good to go. Hey, just a reminder, Radio Caravan is on Cox Channel 3 TV. 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. 8 p.m. Saturday, that's tonight at 8 p.m., Channel 3, and 12 noon tomorrow, reaching an estimated 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. And, of course, in the room with me this morning is my co-host, Jim Bastian. How are you doing today, Jim?
Hey, Scott. I learned something new this morning on the way over.
Uh-oh.
Did you know that the speed limit on Laguna Canyon Road is 30 miles an hour on Saturday morning?
Did you get a ticket?
No, there was a big truck in front of me, and he somehow thought that you couldn't go over 30. So me and the seven other cars.
Behind him?
Yeah. Just got to patiently wait.
Well,
so funny.
It was nice.
No road rage or anything like that?
No, it was all right. It was cool.
All right.
I had my coffee. It was all good.
Hey, we got an interesting morning. We've got multiple things going on. We've got a musical guest coming in. We've got a CEO, president of a local hospital chain that we're going to talk to, et cetera. We're going to start with Ms. Kirian Muise, who is here to talk to us today about something that's happening in Laguna Beach this afternoon. Yes?
Yes. It's not just something. It's something historic. It's Uh-oh. Lita Albuquerque's An Elongated Now, which is taking place at the Laguna Art Museum. And for those who don't know who Lita Albuquerque is, she's a world-famous artist, got her BFA at UCLA. She's known for doing a lot of performance pieces. The piece that's happening today is actually due to hundreds of local volunteers, and the Laguna Art Museum has done an incredible job of organizing. For instance, some of the individuals that are participating are from LA, and the museum has coordinated buses to bus people in. Wow. I have friends coming in from Los Angeles. I'm actually participating in the piece. And Lita Albuquerque does these performance pieces, for instance, at the Washington Monument. She also did Stellar Axis, where she used the Arctic Desert and did an expedition with scientists, and they did a performance piece in the middle of Antarctica.
Well, I mean, that's performance art is very fascinating to me, yes?
It is. You know, I'm a painter. But for many people who say, well, I don't have a creative bone in my body, I wish I could do something fantastic, this is your way to get involved with the local community and be a part of this historic piece, which is taking place on Main Beach. Everyone has been instructed to dress in white and to wear a long-sleeve white shirt and a long pants. Another great thing is that American Apparel is actually one of the sponsors.
That sounds
so
cool.
So if you don't have white, I hear they're actually going to give you clothing to wear in this piece.
Okay, so a couple of quick questions here. It's at this afternoon at 2:30?
2:30.
Main Beach. How many people are they expecting?
200.
200 people all dressed in white.
All dressed in white.
And what's the performance?
We're going to line the beach. And, for instance, they started the piece this morning at sunrise. She likes to incorporate the cosmos in her collective performance pieces, and it's going to conclude at sunset at around 6 o'clock. There's some type of choreography involved, and I'm not sure, but I'm hoping it's going to be like Simon Says, where someone's going to be instructing us on, you know, what to do, YMCA. I'm not sure. I'm just ready for anything.
So it's not a flash mob?
No, definitely not a flash mob.
Thank you, Jill. We got to use the microphones.
We're really, really excited, and I'm excited to be a part of it. I actually met Lita in person, and she actually personally asked me to be involved in the
piece. That sounds great. I'm still confused a little bit. We don't know what the performance is going to be, though. We just know they're going to be 200 people dressed in white.
Dressed in white, lining the ocean. They're going to have blue lights towards sunset to kind of to kind of close the sunrise. They they had artists there this morning at sunrise to activate the piece.
Gotcha.
And so the volunteers were activating her vision, were activating the Laguna Art Museum's vision of the elongated now.
Is it being filmed?
I'm pretty sure there will be filming.
Because
involved.
How would other people be able to sort of watch this performance piece?
You can watch it from the cliffs.
Oh, I see.
You can watch it from the beach.
Yep.
So
very nice.
A lot of activity a day in Laguna.
Right? What's that, Jim?
You watch from a blimp.
Yeah,
that's true.
Go.
Helicopter. Yeah.
Anyone got one of those drones with the video?
Perfect. I'm sure. Cyrus does.
Good idea.
All right. All right, Kieran, very nice. 2:30 this afternoon, Main Beach, Lita Albuquerque's and Elongated Now. Is there any, by the way, last question, any significance to the title, and Elongated Now?
You know, the significance is the day, the timing of the day and
gotcha.
Being a part of the day and activating the day.
Nice work, Kieran. Thank you so much.
Thank
very
you.
Nice, very nice. Also in the studio today, healthy lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey,
good
who's
morning.
Here to chat about the F word.
So who the knows F what word. The F word is?
Fiber.
April, you're just ruined
the surprise.
Smart.
I nailed it.
So smart.
Yeah, but nobody heard you. Say it again.
Fiber. Well, whatever. I know.
All right, what's the fiber word?
So
what's that all about?
We need fiber, right? We know we need fiber. We always hear every doctor tell us we need fiber. And there are two types of fiber. There is soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. So your soluble fiber is going to dissolve with water.
Who's vibrating?
What was that?
That was my squeaky microphone.
Wow.
That was awesome.
It was a little fiber action.
It's a little squeaky.
Yeah. Yeah. So the soluble dissolves with water, and it creates like a gel-like substance. So as you're passing it through, it's going to slow down your digestion, slow down the time that the food moves through, which is really good at helping you feel full. So it's really good for weight management. It's good for decreasing spikes of blood sugar. So people with diabetes, you know, they want that soluble fiber. And then it also decreases your LDL levels, which are the bad cholesterol, so lousy. And
it increases?
It decreases.
Decreases. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be bad if it increased.
That's what I thought I heard.
Get your fiber.
Yeah. So because it's disrupting the absorption of dietary cholesterol. So this we like. And then you have insoluble. And we do not digest that at all. So we don't digest any of them. But this one does not dissolve in water. And it moves through your colon basically intact. So this one is going to also increase the rate of food and waste. So, Scott, we're going to use your favorite word here. By doing that, it helps to alleviate what?
I don't know.
Constipation so that
that's
you can...
That's my favorite word?
No, so that you can poop.
Ah, yeah. That is my favorite word.
I knew that
poopy
was
poopy head. Can you say poopy head on air? I think you can, yeah?
Yeah, you can say poopy head,
okay.
Right? So, and it really, so it's relieving that constipation. It acts like a broom sweeping your colon, which is really good. All of these, both of these, type the soluble and the insoluble, are very important. So don't worry about how you're going to get them. The soluble you're going to get from your apples and your cucumbers and your celeries and your strawberry and your oat bran and flax seeds. And then the insoluble you're going to get from brown rice, whole wheat. You're going to get it from oat bran, your whole grains, your nuts, your dark leafy greens, and zucchini. A lot of your root vegetables with the skin on it. So you're going to get it that way.
Cool.
But as you're increasing your fiber, you want to increase your water. So we want to increase your water to help you because it can create gas. Yeah, that's the other word, gas.
Gas.
Yeah, we don't want gas.
Especially in the studio. You know.
Oh, we don't want
no,
that.
No, it's too small in here.
And you really want to get 25 to 35 grams of fiber. April, do you think you do that?
I do. I poop really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, April, for sharing.
I sleep well and I can poop, so I'm good.
So, how many grams do you think Americans really get?
Probably less than they need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 15.
About 15?
Which we need 25 to 35.
Okay.
So, you want to snack on more vegetables, check your labels for the word whole.
Uh-huh.
For whole grain, and you want like your legumes and your nuts and your seeds, and you want to start the day with fiber and protein and have a vegetarian day, like a meatless Monday day.
Right.
And then when you're doing this, chew your food.
Okay.
Chew it because you want to masticate it in your mouth.
Got it.
You're sucking it down whole, not good. And so all this fiber is going to relieve constipation, heart disease. It can help with type 2 diabetes, prevent diverticulitis and obesity. So it's Oh, weight management.
That's a win-win.
That's a win-win for sure.
Are we all going to have some fiber now?
Yes. After the show, we're all going to go out and eat our fair share of fiber.
Chew on some grass.
Chew on some grass. The F word this morning by Miss Jill Harvey. Ooh. Thank you very much. April, don't go away. We're going to play music. I want to leave to a musical break. Here we go. We're going to go to a musical break. We're going to come back, and we have the artist Tommy Morrison coming in to play a couple of songs live. So, April, lead us out with a little music, and then take that break.
Sitting here by myself, wishing I was somewhere else, thinking about how you've been. And if I could, you know I would, take back everything, do it all again. So just close your eyes. Blind, that this happens all the time. It's just not meant to be. And now and then, again and again, it all comes back to me. Though it's sometimes hard to see. So just close your eyes. Cause it's you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me. Just you and me. It's you and me. It's just you and me.
Listen to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. I'm here, of course, this morning with my co-host, Jim. Mm-hmm. We're getting reports, by the way, that perhaps the show isn't going out over the internet. Stay tuned. Owner Tyler Russell's working on that. So if you're trying to listen to the show, keep checking back. Of course, if you're listening online and you can't hear the show, you can't hear what I'm saying.
That's a really good point.
So that was pointless.
That was pointless. Thank you, April. Very feisty this
morning. She is very feisty.
A little extra fiber in her diet later, maybe.
This morning.
All right, hey, listen. This morning we have in the studio singer-songwriter Tommy Morrison, country Rock en Español. He's got two CDs out, right, Tommy?
Yeah, that's right.
One's called Otra Vez. The other one is called The King of the City. And welcome to Radio Caravan, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, you came to my attention through Keith Taylor.
Yeah,
who's a sound engineer. He has a recording studio here in Orange County.
Yeah.
He's worked with a lot of major artists over the years.
Yes, he has.
And
yeah.
I reached out to him. I said, you know, who could you recommend from your cache of artists that might want to be interested in coming in the show? And yours was the first name that came up. So.
Oh, that's really nice. I appreciate it. Yeah, Keith's a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a studio in Fountain Valley, and he's worked with Sinatra to Bowie, Dylan, and on down to me.
Yeah, is it true he's cousin to some James Taylor?
Yeah, he's James Taylor's first cousin.
Yeah. So, I always hear musicians are always first cousins to somebody.
Yeah, well, they both grew up playing, and Keith plays and sings too, but he ended up being more interested in engineering and the sound and doing the work of the recordings.
So. Yeah, and he's great, by the way.
Yeah,
he's
does
great.
Great work.
So you're a local Orange County singer-songwriter.
Yep.
Two CDs out, I just mentioned. You've toured with Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony, is that true?
Yeah, well, we did show in Irvine Meadows, which is now, Verizon Wireless?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I travel so much, I forget when the names change of these places. But yeah we did Super Estrella, which is another station. They do a big Reventone, big party, and we did a show there with, 12 major artists from the Latin music.
Wow. Yeah. So are you more known as sort of a Latin musician or?
Kind of both. I've always done English rock all my life, but then I learned Spanish and I moved out here from Chicago and started being able to use my Spanish here in California. Like everyone, you know, there's so many Latinos here. So I started getting completely fluent in it. And then I learned about the Spanish rock music and their pop music. And everyone that was my friend and that was Latino kept kind of urging me and pushing me to do Spanish rock. So I wrote a couple songs and just sent it out to a conference one year, and about 3 months later, I get a call that I'm in the charting and the radio all over the country. I'm like, what the heck is this? And it was quite a surprise.
Yeah.
So I kind of ran with it, did a complete CD, and then it took off more. And we had three top 10 hits, and we toured all over Latin America and Mexico, went to Spain, did all that stuff. And so now I came back in this past year, 2013. I hadn't recorded in English for a while, so I had all these songs built up, and I'm like, you know, that I've been writing. So I'm like, let's do it. So we went with Keith, and we did one new Spanish CD and one new English CDs. So.
Wow. Which is probably unheard of in a lot of ways, where somebody comes out with two CDs at the same time. And it's not the same songs on both CDs.
They're no, I don't cheat. I write Spanish music for that market. Yeah. I write the country for that market. And I write my rock for the rock market. So.
Yeah. Are you Latino yourself?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
If you did the Ancestry.com thing, you never know. Who knows?
I'm just wondering why you decided to learn Spanish and then to go from learning Spanish to actually performing and singing and recording in Spanish. Had to have been a difficult transition.
It was a fluke. It was scary, I'll tell you that. When they put me in front of 20,000 people and I had to talk and manage a crowd in another language.
Yeah.
It was pretty. I was like, boom, my heart was going like, okay, can I do this? You know, but yeah. I just jumped in, started swimming in the water, and did it, you know.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
So you brought your guitar with you this morning.
Yes, I did.
You've tuned up.
I think I did.
You're ready to rock and roll. Yeah. April's on the phone, so we're trying to figure out whether or not we're ready to go on this. Guys, by the way, I'm going to kind of roll with this a little bit. Corey, are we getting his face okay and it's not blocked by any? Okay, I saw you guys working on it. Thank you, Cyrus. Very nice of you. So, Jim, here we go. April, are we ready to play a little music?
You want me to do a Spanish one or an English one?
Your choice.
Well, you tell me.
Let me ask a quick question.
We'll fill the order.
Are we supposed to be doing those things in the between the
what thing? No, not until 8:30.
Not until 8:30.
Start, so.
All right, great.
No worries. I'm on it.
Okay, good. So he's all mic'd up and ready to go, yes?
Yeah,
let's sample a little beach. Let's do a little Spanish, a little English. I'm interested to hear both.
Yeah, so you pick the song you want and give us a title.
Okay, well, this one is one of the songs that we threw in the pot for the Grammys this year, so keep your fingers crossed. It's called
All right.
You and Me. It's one of the English songs off the new CD. And, here you go.
That sounds great.
Sitting here by myself, wishing I was somewhere else, thinking about how you've been. And if I could, you know I would, take back everything and do it all again. Just close your eyes. just might find you and me. Now some may say love is blind, and that this happens all the time. It's just not meant to be. But now and then, again and again, it all comes back to me. Though it's sometimes hard to see. So just close your eyes. Just might find it's you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me. Just you and me. Just you and me. It's you and me. Close your eyes, and we just might find it's you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me. Just you and me. It's you and me. You and me. Just you and me. It's you and me. It's you and me.
Ooh, very nice. Tommy Morrison, You and Me, off the album King of the City, which came out, you told me, earlier this year around April.
Yeah, late April. Yeah, we released that one.
That sounds great. You've got the second album out, Otra Vez, done entirely in Spanish. You want to pull a song from that album as well?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
beautiful.
That's something that most people don't hear.
You know, when he goes into his higher register, he sounds like John Baddorf, who we just had on the show. A few weeks ago. Don't you think?
A little bit, you're right.
Way to tie it in. Nice.
Yeah. Is that what you said, too?
Hey, Tom, let me ask you a question. Here's your album art. Where is this? It looks like a wine cave, but it's really not.
We can't talk about it.
Oh, come on. No.
Yeah, that's over, actually, in Corona, California. I drive the 15 a lot, and I saw this place called Dos Lagos, so I pulled over one day to eat, and they had this really cool tunnel that they built a little man-made lake, and you can walk through it, and it's kind of like it's a great place to take a date. But at nighttime... there's tons of couples walking around. There's benches, and it's real pretty, and it's safe and quiet and fun.
Making out in a tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a song there somewhere.
But I was alone there, you know, so that's when I wrote those sad love songs.
Let me know next time you go.
Hey, April, settle down.
I'm just saying.
Take it easy over there. We're going to, the CD here, we're going to show that, by the way. That was the cover of the CD that Jim was talking about. So, Tommy Morrison, in the room, talk to me. Play a song off that Spanish CD.
Okay. Well, yeah, the people, they can check out stuff at tommorrison.com, too, if they want to hear it. And the CDs are up on iTunes and Amazon and all that as well, too.
Good for you.
So, this one's called Otra Vez. It's the title track off the Spanish rock CD. And we'll give it a whirl here.
Cigarro entre amigos y un café, pensando en esa noche en la que se fue. Y a veces pienso que ya estarás pensando en mí, pensando en ti, pensando en todo lo que pudo ser. Otra vez me voy de aquí. Otra vez me voy de aquí.
Me sucede a menudo, estoy solo otra vez, volando en una nube hecha de papel. Y a veces pienso que ya estarás pensando en mí, pensando en ti, pensando en todo lo que pudo ser otra vez. Me voy de aquí otra vez, me voy de aquí porque tú no supiste apreciar todo lo que yo te pude dar. Otra vez me voy de aquí. A veces pienso que ya estarás pensando en mí, pensando en ti, en todo lo que pudo ser. Otra vez me voy de aquí, otra vez me voy de aquí. De apreciar todo lo que yo te pude dar. Otra vez me voy de aquí, otra vez, otra vez. Lo que yo te pude dar otra vez, me voy de aquí.
Ándale pues, qué bueno. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. Hey, you're listening to Tommy Morrison. This, of course, is KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. Am I breaking out? I'm breaking in and out a little bit there. Is that my mic or what?
Probably. All
right, great. Tommy, tell me again, what's your website? Go.
Website, tommorrison.com. And there they can all find the links and just do easy clicks to Facebook and Twitter and all that jazz. You can also buy the music there, or it'll take you to links to iTunes and all the other spots.
We got to get you back on the show, my friend. Nice job. Beautiful. Great songs, by the way. Beautiful voice.
Thank you very much.
Really nice. Hey, we're going to take a 1 minute break, and we're coming back, Jim, as you know. We have Ken McFarland in the room, president, CEO of Missions Hospital.
Yep.
And we're going to have some interesting conversations here after the 1 minute break. April, take us out.
Oh, baby, come on. Don't you leave me like this. I did you wrong, but it was just a kiss. Oh, baby, come on. Why don't you understand? When you're gone, just a simple man. Maybe I don't say it all the time. Girl, I need you right by my side. Oh, baby, come on. Stop playing around. You know I'll be there whenever you're feeling down. Come on, baby, come on. You know you have to admit that you and me, girl, we're the perfect fit. Tattoo of another man, and my ex-girlfriend, she's still in the band. it all the time. Girl, I need you right by my side. Oh, baby, come on. It was just a kiss. I know I was wrong. Don't you leave me like this. Oh, baby, come on.
Kicking a can, walking down the highway, I'm looking to see who's going my way. I'm wanting to get out of this town tonight. I've been kicked out of every single bar, wondering who the hell you are. Here I am, kicking this can again, trying to find your way through these nights and days without no one holding your hand. Thinking of you and the times you lied, don't even know why the hell I tried. But here I am, kicking this can again. I had a car, didn't get too far, broken down there at the last bar. So here I am, just kicking this can.
Ooh, nice fade out of that music there. Tommy Morrison, the artist, was just in the studio. Check him out on his website. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM, and this is Radio Caravan. And we're transitioning over to a new in-studio guest. And Jim, you want to go ahead and take it from here?
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We're really happy this morning to have the CEO of Mission Hospital, Ken McFarland, with us. Ken and I have known each other for a few years through my involvement on the board of Mission Hospital Foundation. And I've gotten to know Ken, and we've worked together very closely over the last few years on some very challenging issues as the world of healthcare changes. And so very excited this morning, Scott, to have Ken with us in studio.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Ken, welcome, by the way.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I was reading this online. You're a not-for-profit medical facility. Do I have that correct?
Absolutely.
With campuses in Mission Viejo and Laguna Beach?
Yes.
The largest hospital in Orange County?
We are the largest hospital in all of Orange County.
Providing more than
two campuses.
Providing more than $40 million in charity care annually. Do I have those statistics right?
You do. You do, Scott.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I feel privileged and pretty blessed to be part of an organization that cares so much about its community. We're about healing people when they make their way to our facilities, but we're also about keeping people well so they don't have to come to Mission Hospital. And that's part of our investment back into the community with those contributions.
Yeah.
A couple other areas, Scott, you may not
Please.
Be aware of. One of the great sources of care in South Orange County is the Camino Health Center. Not a lot of people know about that and its affiliation with Mission.
Yes.
Ken, tell us about the Camino Health Center.
Yeah, so we founded the Camino Health Center a little over 30 years ago. And the Camino Health Center is all about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, the underserved and those that are on the margin. And we see about 130,000 women, infants, and children every year. And we look at it as a great safety net to make sure that everybody in our community, even those without a voice, are cared for.
That's beautiful, yeah.
It's a great facility right down in San Juan Capistrano, just down the street from the Mission.
Yeah.
And what that does is it allows a lot of people that would ordinarily show up at the ER, at Mission, or at Laguna Beach to actually have a place where they can go, which frees up the other two locations for, you know, dealing with more acute issues.
Yeah. So. I got some silly questions.
I'm a silly guy.
I love it. Why do you call them campuses?
Campuses. That's a great question. No one has ever asked me that question. From my perspective, it's a way to give people a comprehensive feel so that when they come on and off our property, they see something bigger than themselves. It's a campus. And when you think about a college campus, many things are happening. You got your liberal arts, you got your sciences, you got your engineering. At Mission Hospital, we have our emergency rooms, we got our operative environments, we got trauma, We deliver 3,000 babies a year. We do it all. And so it has that kind of campus feel. We don't do just one thing. We do many things.
Okay, that's great. That's a great answer. And I knew it was going to kind of throw you off a little bit. I don't think I've ever seen a hospital that referred to its facilities as campuses before.
I think it's part of the reason, too, is everyone knew about Mission Hospital and Mission Viejo, but then with the affiliation relationship with the Laguna Beach facility, all of a sudden you've got one hospital, two locations, let's call them campuses. Not a lot of people know about the history of the relationship with Laguna Beach. Obviously, South Coast Medical Center has been here forever. Can you tell people in this community especially a little bit about Mission's relationship with Laguna Beach and how that all came about?
Absolutely. We, over the years, I've been at Mission Hospital for 16 years now, and I've seen a lot of owners come and go in their stewardship of the South Coast Medical Center. And we saw an opportunity to create a permanent kind of tenant, if you will, in terms of Mission Hospital. We acquired it 64 months ago, and that's our hope. We've been making an extraordinary amount of investment in that facility. We want this community to know we're here for the long haul. And the reason why we acquired that hospital is it does something we don't do. And we wanted 1 + 1 = 3 in terms of our outreach. And what great care that happens at Laguna is enhanced by behavioral and mental health services. There's a very, very big issue with mental health, with addictions and the like, that nobody's addressing in South Orange County. We thought, what a great opportunity. Let's shore up that campus. Let's make some very notable investments and grow the programs for mental health and behavioral health within South Orange County, caring for our community.
So you talk about investment. What kind of investment are we talking about at Laguna Beach?
Well, when I describe it, it'll feel like duct tape. So we bought the campus 64 months ago. In the walls, in the basement, behind the scenes, there's a lot of things that needed care. HVAC, boilers, shoring it up so it could withstand any type of earthquake. We call that seismic. We've poured almost $30 million into that campus since we acquired it. I call that the duct tape. What we're going to do now is we're going to beautify the feeling in which you come onto that campus and feel like you're at any world-class facility getting the best care, whether you're suffering from behavioral or mental health services, or you have an emergency need and you can come to that emergency department and get the best in care, the greatest technology, and the most advanced practices in medicine.
You know, let me ask a question. I'm going to back up just one half a step to my simple mind. How exactly does the not-for-profit model work, and how do you go about raising funds?
That's a great question. When people think about not-for-profit, I think the visual people have is you're living on a dime. You're making it check to check, kind of payroll to payroll. We actually are very blessed, and we do very well economically. Our commitment as a not-for-profit, as a faith-based organization, is those monies that we would normally pay in taxes, whether it's income taxes, property taxes, and the like, we reinvest in the community. We take care of our community. We want to be great stewards so that to whom much has been given, much is expected. We want to make sure that we keep our facilities running very, very well, invest in the greatest and the most advanced technology. But we, with those surpluses, want to reinvest into the community to make sure that all needs are met, regardless of your ability to pay. So when people come to our emergency departments, we see 72,000 emergency room visits a year, about 2,000 trauma visits, and we deliver about 3,000 babies a year. The majority of all those visits, all those encounters, are with those who can't afford to care for themselves. And so we supplement that. To make things really great, because we are a great institution with two great campuses, we go out into the community, because we are in a community with those who have much, and we walk side by side with those very philanthropic, very generous and kind people in our community, and they give generously to Mission Hospital and Mission Hospital Laguna Beach. And we take those monies, and we take great health care, and we step it up a notch. And we make great investments in the latest technology around imaging, the operative environments, and just the physical surroundings that we call our two campuses.
What percent of your budget comes from the money you raise, and how much do you raise annually?
We raise approximately $10 to $12 million a year, which speaks to the generosity of this community. And that represents about, of our operating budget is over $500 million a year. So that's the ratio. But what we see is it takes a lot of health care to get a margin. And our margin is about 5%. So when you get support philanthropically, you can do so much more.
Yeah, I know one of the things that recently you just announced and had your grand opening of the Neuroscience and Spine Institute, which I've been working with you on. That was an over $20 million project, and our foundation raised money to make that happen, right?
Yeah, we are. So if you think about the Mission Viejo campus, we have a tower, a four-story tower, completely dedicated to neuroscience and spine. The second floor, which just got completed, is a set of operative suites and an environment to provide neuroscience surgery. So that's surgery of the brain, surgery of the spine. It was a $22 million investment. It's the most advanced operative environments right now in the entire country. We have these suites. If you can imagine a 1,000-square-foot facility with cameras where we're doing procedures, very leading edge, neuro, brain, and otherwise, being pumped out into educational facilities where people are learning, people are gathering, and people are understanding and potentially consulting in on these procedures that are happening each and every day, going out to like the Cleveland Clinic, potentially UCLA, maybe even USC.
What? I'm a Bruin, so
I
was just,
yeah. I should have stopped at UCLA.
You probably should.
Has your ability to raise money diminished over the last few years as a result of sort of the economic downturn, or have you guys been able to sort of sustain that same level?
Well, with community members like Jim Bashton and others, our philanthropic outreach has actually increased. I think people see healthcare reform and they approach it from a position of fear. We see healthcare reform and approach it from a position of abundance. And our community is doing likewise. And they're saying, we're not going to let healthcare get relegated to a level of mediocrity. We want our hospital, because it's their hospital. It's not my hospital. It's not St. Joseph Health. It's the community's hospital. And they're walking side by side with us and saying, this is important. And they've been very generous, not only with their treasures, but with their time and their resources otherwise. A lot of volunteerism, a lot of boots on the ground, and people just saying, I want the best care, whether it's my neighbor, my grandmother, my son, or my spouse.
We're going to take a one-minute break. April, are we ready for this remote broadcast thing that's happening? Do you know?
No, they haven't sent me anything.
All right, well, let's take a one-minute break and figure out if we can. And then we're going to come back, and we're talking, by the way, with Keith McFarland, President and CEO of Missions Hospital. And we're going to be back. We have some additional questions for you, obviously.
Thank you very much.
April.
Dim that's inside of me, I feel it going down. Got a stone in my pocket, brings luck to me. Right now I could use a little bit of anything. I rack my brain, figuring out just ain't like it ought to be. And if horseshoes and four-leaf clovers what I need, maybe I should just let it bleed down the street, through the yard, across the alley, and over at the bar. You act like you know what you're talking about. When the sun sets and when the stars come out, she used to be so damn pretty. Yeah, I love to watch you walk, and you act like you can figure it all out. Well, let me tell you, no one really ever knows how.
There's no
doubt. See, I once was the king of this city. That's all over now. Rain comes down like a symphony, playing its own song. It reminds me of something that was once said to me. Life sometimes is a dangerous thing. Down the street, through the yard, across the alley, and over at the bar. You act like you know what you're talking about. When the sun sets and when the stars come out, she used to be so damn pretty. Yeah, I love to watch you walk.
We're back at KX 93.5 Laguna's Only FM. Scott Hayes,
no
Jim
point.
Bastion, and April.
Yeah, we're not supposed to say 93.5.
93.5?
There you go.
How about 93 and a half?
Yeah.
93 and a half.
That works.
Fraction time. Sorry. In any event, we're here with Ken McFarland, CEO of Mission Hospital. Ken, big challenges in healthcare right now, obviously with the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. Lots of things going on in your world. A lot of challenges. How do you deal with it right now? What are some of the things you're facing there at Mission?
Well, I got to tell you, I tell anybody considering healthcare and coming into this environment, it's certainly not for the faint of heart. And you got to have a really courageous outlook because it's so important. Everybody needs healthcare. And what we don't want to do and what we don't want to have happen, as I shared earlier, is approach this from a position of fear and limitation and think about not allowing ourselves to lower to a level of mediocrity, which I think some would say has happened to our public school systems.
Right.
You kind of take it down. And what we want to do is we want to elevate it. We want to bring a lot of awareness to it. And it's critically important that our community participate with us, walk side by side with us. They can volunteer. They can open up their checkbook. Whatever those gifts, talents, and treasures they have are critical because, as I share, this is their hospital. It's where their children are going to be born. It's where their loved ones might pass away. It's where emergency care is so critical. When the affordable health care came into its own January 1st, millions of people all of a sudden had access to health care, so they thought. But what they did get, they got an insurance product. They didn't get a medical home, they didn't get a physician, and not necessarily even a hospital. So the emergency rooms are getting kind of clogged. So what we want to do is kind of put a net out there. We're partnering with a lot of like-minded physicians and get the community's physician response with us. So we place a lot of primary cares, a lot of nurse practitioners in the community, meet the patients where they are, not necessarily have them come into the hospital on an emergency basis, an episodic basis, and keep them well and practice a lot of good wellness patterns around diet, exercise, and self-care, which is absent in the Affordable Health Care Act.
Interesting. So one of the things I know that has happened is this affiliation process where you say that the hospital is important to individuals. They want to know it's their hospital. Yet in order to deal with the marketplace, it seems like you're kind of going the other direction and expanding and becoming a bigger thing with these affiliations. Talk about that.
When I put my head on the pillow each and every night, I realize I'm part of something bigger than myself. And that helps to give me courage and puts a little bit of wind in my sail. So thinking about healthcare, thinking about our county, knowing that you might live in Mission Viejo, but you might work in Orange, knowing you might live in Orange, but you might work in Newport Beach, we try to, through our affiliations, kind of expand our opportunities of providing care. So we, St. Joseph Hoag Health, are part of St. Jude's in Fullerton, St. Joe's Orange in Orange, and now Hoag in Newport Beach, and now Hoag Irvine, together with Mission Hospital and Mission Hospital Laguna Beach. We've tried to create a net so that no matter what your geographic disposition, you're going to get great care. And these are great institutions. Every now and then we have challenges, but together we're stronger. It's like a band of six threads coming together.
You're very polished, by the way. You should get into politics. Have you ever considered getting into politics?
No, I have too many wise people around me preventing me from doing so.
Well, that's good, I guess. But you really are polished. You speak well, and I can see where you're really effective in your job. Your facility ran into a little bit of a hiccup here recently, and I don't want to undermine sort of the severity of the issue. You put elective surgeries on hold, about 70% of your total surgeries recently. You voluntarily closed 14 operating rooms after four patients developed infections following orthopedic operations, and there were some concerns about your accreditation. So I'm going to allow you to sort of define for us what the problem was and then maybe articulate how you went about dealing with it.
Thank you. And Scott, thank you for putting that out there. I can't begin to describe how many sleepless nights I had as a result of that very difficult time. In healthcare, we actually have as an outcome goal perfect care. Sounds audacious, it sounds a little arrogant, but we want perfect care. And we want anybody and everybody coming on and off our facilities, our two campuses, to have great confidence and great trust. And so late May,
early June, when it came to our attention, we had this cluster, these infections. And let me set some context. We do about 20,000 procedures a year. When I think of our 14 operative environments, we actually have 15 operative environments over our two campuses. We have two main ORs, one in Laguna and a main OR in Mission Viejo, but we have other operative environments where we do cath lab procedures, GI procedures, we deliver babies via C-section and so on. So in these 15 operative environments, the infections took place in one OR, we call it Room 8 on the Mission Viejo campus. We brought in the smartest and brightest people we could find from an infectious disease perspective to help us understand how did this occur. We looked at every aspect of the environment from the vents to the cleaning materials we use to how people come into the operating room. We swabbed them and tested them to look at, was there a correlation by those who worked in the OR? Was there a correlation, was it one single physician? Was it a humidity or a temperature issue in the OR? And these very, very smart people said, we cannot find any correlation. Infections do happen, as you saw in subsequent reporting by the Orange County Register. It's a very difficult environment to keep absolutely perfectly clean. We had this cluster. We self-reported. In the early part of October, some very smart people from the Joint Commission came on out in partnership with us and said, you know, you've got these 15 operative environments and you manage them in a decentralized manner. You should consider a centralized approach, a centralized leadership over it. We, out of what I'd call an abundance of caution, said, you know what, let's pause. Let's stop doing the electives. Let's get everything. I would say we operated from a very high standard level of care. We just took our game up a notch. And I'd venture to say we probably have one of the most safest, cleanest operative environments you could possibly imagine. And one last point, if I may, Scott, I'm sorry if I'm taking all the air out of the room.
No.
But one thing I want to remind everybody is each and every day we're getting 5 to 7 trauma cases still and operating with great outcomes. We get about 200 emergency room visits each and every day and caring for those people with very good outcomes in those operative environments. We just hit the pause button on the electives to free up people's bandwidth to really put a lot of focus and attention. And then 10 days later, we open them all back up.
A very difficult period, I suspect, for you and your campuses.
Yes.
Did you actually self-report, or did an employee come forward to report?
We actually, those went parallel. And so we had a very unhappy employee who gave me a letter and said, I think there's some issues here. And then they gave that same letter to the Joint Commission, the accrediting body. But because whenever we find something like this, we self-report. If a patient falls and there's a bad outcome, because patients fall, you can have an elderly individual who came to us with a stroke. They may have been trying to go to the restroom. They may have fallen. We self-report that. If we have any kind of untold outcome, which happens a lot in healthcare, we self-report to the regulatory bodies because we want to keep our integrity high. And we want the confidence of the community to remain in us.
Beautiful. Did the four people who suffered from the infections, I know you can't get into their specific cases, but can you give the listeners, the viewers, an overall sense of how they're doing?
Yeah. What I like to share is we take these things very seriously, the practitioners, the nurses, the families, and through a regimen of very aggressive antibiotics, everybody's okay. Now, did we want it to happen that way? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it made me feel very bad.
Yeah.
And those are what contributes to those sleepless nights.
And the employee who reported the problem used the word unhappy. Was this employee unhappy because of the infections, or was this employee unhappy for other reasons? And what became of that employee?
I can't speak to that because that employee is on this journey.
Yeah.
And for protection purposes, and
got you.
We're working through stuff. I'm not trying to be evasive.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I get
we're
it.
Working through some stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, we employ 2,700 people.
Right.
And it's a big community, and we are doing a lot of things. And I think this person wanted more attention in the work area in which she found herself. And guess what? there's a lot of attention happening in that area where she works.
What caused the infections then? Did you ever discover what the infections were? And are you installing a new sort of system here to do
Yeah, if you can imagine the attention this received, together with the strength of this broader system, we had our professional colleagues from Hogue, St. Joe's Orange, and St. Jude's come with us. We looked at the entirety of the environment. We could not identify the source. And that happens. People actually bring bugs with them into the operative environment. It might be inside. So what we did was we approached it and looked at all the air handling. We created a centralized approach for what we call high-level disinfectant. We brought in new equipment for sterilization. We did a lot of training. We did a lot of competencies. And we put in some pretty brilliant practices to make sure we are world-class and best-in-class.
Beautiful. I mean, you came across a very severe problem. You tackled it right away. You seem to have done everything you could to sort of fix the problem, and you feel comfortable and confident that the hospitals are safe and not necessarily completely infection-free, but...
If I could share one last comment on that matter. So when the surveyor came back out to kind of make sure we did what we said we would do, and I was staring at that surveyor, it was about 6:45, in the evening as we were exiting the meeting, and I asked her, I said, point blank, would you feel safe having surgery at Mission Hospital? And she didn't even hesitate. She said, yes, absolutely.
It's the right question to ask, yes. We were talking, what's the going on at the campus down in Laguna Beach? You want to say something about that, Jim?
I know
we got
that,
1 minute, by the way.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what you have in terms of pediatric behavioral health and some of the issues that you're talking about going forward.
So one of the things that pains me the most as a member of this community is one in four, so we have eight people in this room. Two of us are going to have a mental health need in the next 12 months and on an annual basis. So look around, one in four.
I think April.
And today,
Cyrus.
Today, unfortunately, nobody in this community...
Let him go.
Nobody in this community is dealing with behavioral mental health needs. The adults get care, and if they get care, it's difficult to obtain. But nobody is helping our adolescents, and nobody's helping our pediatric populations. Those are the young kids. And so we're going to really reinvest in the Laguna Beach campus, not only for the great adult care that's there, but we're going to introduce behavioral mental health services for adolescents, both psychiatric and chemical dependency, as well as our hope is to introduce it for pediatrics as well, in addition to the great care we do with emergency medicine, surgeries, and the like. We're very excited about this, and our whole view on this is going to be, let's take behavioral mental health services out of the shadows and into the light, and not have the stigma, the shame, or the fear right out on something that I think hurts people very much. It's like any other disease, whether it's diabetes, cancer, or otherwise. We're going to take it out of the shadows and shine a bright light on it.
Ken McFarland, President, CEO of Missions Hospital. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. On behalf of myself, Scott Hayes, and, of course, my co-host, Jim Baston. You made the call on this, Jim. You want to leave any parting words? You got like 10 seconds.
It's been great working with this hospital, and this community is lucky to have Mission in its backyard.
Excellent, yeah. All right, April, take us out of here with a little music. Maybe the artist Tommy Morrison, if you still have anything.
Got it.
Thank you very much.